So how do you know that that yams and Popeye are Christians? I am what I am. I thought of that when we were singing that song. I thought, hey, you wonder what a pastor thinks about when he's sitting there? It was like, that's what I was thinking about. But this morning, I want to talk about darkness. The Lord reigns in the darkness. Psalm 97, 1 to 12. Were you ever scared of the dark when you were a kid? Are you still scared of the dark when you're an adult? I was petrified of the dark when I was a kid. Mom would come, she would tuck me in, and she would shut my light off, and I would beg her, please don't shut the door. Just leave a little crack open so that I could see the light. When I was old enough and responsible to do it myself, I put myself to bed, and I always keep the door ajar. And I think I did this until I was like 12. There's always a sliver of light. The thing about light is what? It dispels the darkness. And everything that resides in the darkness. Monsters, strange noises, nightmares, closets, and clowns. Yes, clowns. I hate clowns. I absolutely hate clowns. To me, clowns are agents of darkness. They hide behind makeup that conceal who they are and what their intentions are. Clowns give me the heebie-jeebies. You ever had the heebie-jeebies? Clowns give me heebie-jeebies. Been that way ever since my mom and dad let me watch Poltergeist. 1982. As a kid, I was 12 years old. Poltergeist, in case you didn't know, was written by Steven Spielberg. It was a horror ghost story. The whole premise behind the story was it's a normal family of five. They live in a house visited by the paranormal. These spirits move things around in the house, and then they start talking to the youngest child, a girl, through a television set. On the grainy station, you know, in the old TVs where you had the black and the white and it would go, shh, right? I hate grainy stations. They make me nervous. The young girl at one moment in the movie turns around after looking at the TV and she says, what? They're here. Sends shivers up your spine. Who's here? The TV people. From that moment on, all you know what breaks loose. Where does my dislike of clowns come in? From the closet, under the bed, in the dark, and that's all I'll say. I hate dark closets, clowns, and grainy TV stations. But why did I tell you this? What's the point of the story? The point of the story is that God resides in darkness and in the darkness. Psalm 97:2 says, cloud and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Have you ever thought that God surrounds himself in clouds and thick darkness? Have you ever thought about that? It's right there in Scripture. Plain and simple. He shrouds himself in darkness and cloud. 1 Kings 8:12. And 2 Chronicles 6:1 say the same thing. Then Solomon said, the Lord has said that he would dwell in thick darkness. Psalm 18:11 says, "He made darkness his covering around him, his canopy, thick clouds, dark with water." When Moses received the Ten Commandments, God's word tells us that the people did not want God to speak to them directly because they were what? Afraid of God. What was the scene before them? Why were they scared of God? Exodus 20:21 says this, "Then the people stood at a distance while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was." Scripture caught your attention yet? Deuteronomy 5:22. "These words the Lord spoke with a loud voice to the whole assembly at the mountain, out of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness, and he added no more. He wrote them on two stone tablets and gave them to me." What's your picture of Moses on the mountain? Is it glory? Is it brightness? And, you know, is face to face with God? No, I think it was darkness and lightning and thunder. And recording it. How did that work? Darkness, things of dark, darkness, things of and things in darkness tend to do what? Scare us, right? They drive us away, they cause us to flee or to have the opposite reaction. Send me a clown and you'll see what happens. Why? Because we believe them to be evil and to promote evil. Darkness is destruction and devastation. Darkness is the devil. Darkness is the opposite of God, in whom no darkness dwells, but only light. 1 John 1:5. "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all." Amen? Amen. We believe this, we strongly affirm this as believers and followers of Christ. The pictures we receive through Scripture affirm this fact time and time again. Ezekiel 10:4. "Then the glory of the Lord rose up from the cherubim to the threshold of the house. The house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the glory of the Lord." Matthew 28:3. "His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow." Revelation 5:3-5. "And the one seated there looks like jasper and carnelian, and around the throne is a rainbow that looks like an emerald. Around the throne are 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones are 24 elders dressed in white robes with golden crowns on their heads. Coming from the throne are flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne burn 7 flaming torches, which are the 7 spirits of God." It's an impressive picture, don't you think? That any man would humble himself before. But what of this fact that God surrounds and dwells in thick darkness? Why would a God of light dwell and surround himself with darkness? When God appeared to Moses, he came in a dark cloud, a tempest and thunder. When God appears on earth, when God appears on earth, how he shows himself in earthquakes, hail, lightning, storms, and fire. Isaiah 29:6. "You will be visited by the Lord of hosts with thunder and earthquake and great noise, with whirlwind and tempest and the flame of a devouring fire." This is God. He took the prophet Enoch in what? A whirlwind. Why does God shroud himself in darkness and reside in darkness? Moses said this to the Israelites as they feared and trembled before him on Mount Sinai. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. For God has come only to test you and to put the fear of him upon you so that you do not sin." So there's a purpose to God's darkness, residing in darkness. God comes to test and put fear in us so we will not sin. God comes in darkness to test and put the fear of Him upon us so that we will not sin. The word translated test means exactly that. God testing the faith and faithfulness of human beings. He tests you and me on our faithfulness to Him. This does not always mean tempting or enticing one to sin, but instead to strengthen and prove, like the Queen of Sheba testing King Solomon's wisdom, or God allowing Satan to test and afflict Job, and Christians being tested and afflicted and even killed for their faith in the last days before Christ returns. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Revelation 13:7. Where did it go? It was there. It's gone. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and conquer them. It was given authority over every tribe and people and language and nation. Revelation chapter 13 is talking about the beast, and that the beast is given authority to rule over every tribe, people, language, and nation. And that is in the days to come. Also, it was allowed. When we lack the fear of God, we will walk the way of sin. Therefore, God tests us when we need a U-turn and to be reminded of Him and His way. Right? When we lack the fear of God, we will walk in the way of sin. Therefore, God tests us when we need a U-turn and to be reminded of Him and His way. He did that all the time with the Israelites. We read through our scriptures and go, man, when are they going to learn? Right? What's God doing? Man, when are you guys going to learn? Right? So He constantly puts a U-turn before you. Here's an opportunity. Here's an opportunity to turn around, repent, and come back to Me. We should not fear or dread God when He comes in the darkness, because He comes for our salvation and our benefit. He reminds us of the respect and honor He deserves and is owed. So then, do I welcome God when He resides and shrouds Himself in darkness? Or is all darkness just evil and bad? What was Job's determination? When he's talking with his wife, and his wife is saying, just roll over and die. Because obviously you've done something wrong. But Job's response was, what? Should we just only accept good from God and not bad? Right? Saying and stating that, you know what? God is in the good and He's in the bad. He controls both. He is sovereign over all things. And He can use both for His will in His way. Amen? Amen. Secondly, God protects us from His glory. Okay? So firstly, He does what? What did He do first? Man, my pages are mixed up here. God comes to test and put fear in us so that we will not sin. And secondly, He protects us from His glory. Why would you need to be protected from God's glory? Can't stand before Him. Scripture says that. No man can stand before God and what? Live. God shrouds Himself in thick darkness so that we are protected from His glory. No man, woman, and or child can behold or withstand the pure, radiant glory of the One on the throne. Moses returns from receiving the tablets of God's Ten Commandments. In his absence, the people do what? They make two golden calves. Why do they do this? Well, maybe Moses has died. We don't know where Moses has been. It's been a long time. And as they do so, they attribute to the calves their salvation and their worship. Exodus 32. As a result, many are put to death. God orders that, not Moses. And the Lord God wants to snuff out all of the people because they are stiff-necked, obstinate, and dishonoring of God. But Moses intercedes on the behalf of the people. And he seeks God's favor and forgiveness and asks God to continue with Israel so that they might be what? The Lord's people on earth. That they might repent and be forgiven. Moses asked God to show him his ways and his glory. Have you ever asked God to show you his ways and his glory? That second part, we may not know what we're asking. Because Moses doesn't know what he's asking. And God protects him in his mercy from certain destruction. Exodus 33:20. But God answered, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." God's face is a symbol of God's glory. Exodus 33:21-22. The Lord said, "Here is a place near me, a cleft in the rock. You are to stand on the rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed." So if I ever wanted and or asked God that he would show you his face, you may want to think about that. Do I really want that? Do I really desire that? I mean, I've prayed many times, "Lord, show me a burning bush." We want the burning bush, right? We want God, I want to know your will, so show me the burning bush. And God says, "No, I'm going to speak to you and whisper to you. I want you to look into my word. I want you to pray. I want you to ask." But you know what? The burning bush is the, irregular thing in God's provision. Because we are to live this life by what? By faith. By faith. Gideon took a piece of fleece, and what did he do? Because he wanted to know God's will, he took that fleece and he says, "Okay, God, so I want you to make everything dry around it, but I want the fleece to be wet." And God does that. "Okay, God, be patient with me. I want you to do this. I want the fleece to be dry and everything else to be wet." Oh, and God does that. Is that good enough for Gideon? "Hold on, just one sec." No. You're to live by faith. He says, "Okay, I'll give you the burning bush," but that's an irregularity with God. That prayer would never be yes with God because he is full of grace and mercy and loves you and me more than what we know and more than what we know how to pray and ask for. Right? "Lord, I want to see your face." He's going, "No, I don't think you want that. But you know what? I'm going to hide you in the cleft of a rock here. And I want you to turn your face away because I don't want you to die. But I'm going to show you different things through different people, through different situations in our world, in your world, that reveal the glory of God indirectly. Because no man can survive if you see his face." So he resides in a shroud, in a cloud of darkness. The fool with no respect or fear of God would ask to see God's glory, only to have his life ended on the spot. God always gives us what we need, when we need it, and how we need it, not how we necessarily desire it. Amen? He always gives us what we need, when we need it, and how we need it, not how we necessarily desire it. Am I living in the fear of God or the fear of the world? God lives in, controls, allows, and creates the darkness. Right? Yeah? John 1, 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Him, and apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. So the darkness was created by God. John 1, 4 to 5, life was in Him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. Amen, praise God. What do you and I have to fear of and in the darkness when God is there? What do we have to fear today when God resides, shrouds, and lives in the darkness? Do we remember that God sent His Son into the darkness to work in and through the darkness to dispel it and conquer it? Do we remember when God came into the world, when Jesus was born, He was born into what? Into darkness. So Jesus works in the darkness and through the darkness to dispel it, to conquer it. And He says, you are to do the same. That He has given His Spirit to us to walk as conquerors in the darkness. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And I would say loves us. Because God is not dead. Regardless of what the world says, Jesus has risen. And He has given His Spirit to us and still resides in this world because His church, His people, still are here. They still live. Do I know the love of Jesus? Have I trusted and believed in the love and person of Jesus? If so, I have nothing to be afraid of except for God Himself and my relationship with Him. How's my relationship with God? Right? That's what the Israelites, it was all about. How is your relationship with Him? I will be your God and you will be my people as long as what? You obey. But even if you choose to disobey, I will still love you. But you've set up a barrier between you and me. And that barrier needs to be removed. And I gave my Son into the darkness to do such a thing, to remove the barrier. Amen? Romans 10, 9 to 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with his heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. So grainy TV, closets, clowns no longer scare me. Though I may not like them, I do not entertain them. I choose to entertain and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and His faithfulness in the darkness. What about you? What about us? What about His church? Do we go into the dark areas? Do we go into the dark areas of this world expecting to revive and redeem the darkness? Or are we afraid of those places? Are we afraid of those people? Are we afraid of those situations? No, we shouldn't be. Because God is everywhere. God is omniscient. God is all-knowing. God is omnipresent. If God is omnipresent, what does that mean? He's in and present everywhere, in everything, in all situations. Even with a person who takes their own life. He is there. Psalm 18:19. He brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. The Lord delivers those whom He is delighted in. Is God delighted in you? Is he delighted in me? Is he delighted in his church? One of the deadliest natural disasters in history was the Indian Ocean earthquake and tsunami, also known as the Boxing Day tsunami, because it took place on December 26, 2004. Remember it? Its epicenter was off the west coast of Indonesia. An estimated 227,898 people in 14 countries died as a result of this tsunami. In some places, the waves from the tsunami were 100 feet high. The destruction caused in just a few minutes was unimaginable. In Sri Lanka, for example, close to 40,000 people lost their lives and thousands of homes were demolished. It took months to recover from the devastation. As the rebuilding process began, one of the strange discoveries found out that prior to the tsunami, animals in the wildlife reserves close to the sea instinctively seemed to sense the danger was approaching. What did they do? They moved to higher ground, further inland. They escaped the effects of the killer waves. After the tsunami, people also are now wiser to what they should do if a similar disaster strikes them again. What does this have to do with anything? Second advent of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus is returning. He came once again already, and the people paid no attention, hardly any attention to him. The Israelites are still looking for the Savior. And there is a second opportunity for people to respond during that time, during this whole time, this whole age, people have had a chance to respond to Jesus, to believe by faith that he is who he says he is, that he is the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of God. Will we ignore the warning signs? His scripture is true. What he has prophesied about, what he has been told, what the prophets of God told us, what the book of Revelation says, the end of the last days are upon us. The age to come. Will we ignore the warning signs? Sometimes God uses the darkness to move people forward so that they will see him. God uses the darkness. He shrouds himself in darkness and cloud in order to get people's attention, in order so that we will not sin and we come and return back to him. Where is my relationship with God? How should we prepare? How should we prepare for our Lord's second coming? Sermon and sentence is this: do not be afraid of the darkness. God resides, shrouds, and conquers the darkness. Amen. Amen.